Thursday, July 17th, commemoration of St. Alexis. The epistle from the first letter of St. Paul to Timothy, chapter 6, verses 6 through 12. Dearly beloved, godliness with contentment is great gain, for we brought nothing into this world, and certainly we can carry nothing out. But having food and wherewith to be covered, with these we are content. For they that will become rich fall into temptation, and into the snare of the devil, and into many unprofitable and hurtful desires, which drown men in destruction and perdition. For covetousness is the root of all evils, which some desiring have erred from the faith, and have entangled themselves in many sorrows. But thou, O man of God, fly these things, and pursue justice, godliness, faith, charity, patience, meekness. Fight the good fight of faith, lay hold on eternal life. Haydock Commentary. Godliness with contentment, or when a man hath what is sufficient to support his necessities, is certainly great gain, is accompanied with the most valuable advantages, the treasure of a good conscience, peace of mind, the grace of God, and hereafter a recompense of eternal glory. That man is certainly rich, however small his possession, if he desire nothing more below, and aspires eagerly after that blessing above, which alone can fill his heart. Mediocrity is an enviable state. It frees us from the dangers of riches and from the temptations of extreme poverty. With this lot let us be content. Why should we fix our hearts on the fleeting possessions of the day? We had not them yesterday, and tomorrow they will not be ours, for as we were born, so we must die. They who wish to become rich. He does not say, as St. John Chrysostom observes, they who are rich, as persons may be rich and make good use of their riches to God's honor and the good of others, but such as would wish to be rich, who seek riches, and have their heart and affections upon riches, fall into various temptations of injustice, pride, and vanity, into hurtful lusts, which drown and plunge men into perdition. The root of all evils is covetousness, or the love of money, as it is in the Greek, a covetous man being ready to sacrifice his soul for money. This truth is verified and illustrated by the example of Judas in the Gospel, of Ananias and Sapphira in the Acts, of Demas, mentioned by St. Paul in his second epistle to Timothy, and many others who have made shipwreck of their faith through eagerness to gain riches. Whoever seeks visible and terrestrial goods with great avidity cannot be supposed to retain much faith in things that are celestial and invisible. He quits a future real and substantial good to seek for a delusive happiness that presents itself, but which will prove a source of present and future evils. Fight the good fight, literally, strive a good strife. St. Paul often brings this comparison of men striving for a prize. Timothy had made profession of his faith at his baptism, at his ordination, and during the whole course of a life which, through many labors and persecutions, had been dedicated entirely to promote the faith. Like him, let us also combat, if we aspire after the same triumph and prize. The Gospel from Matthew chapter 19, verses 27 through 29. At that time, Peter said to Jesus, "Behold, we have left all things and have followed thee. What therefore shall we have?" And Jesus said to them, "Amen, I say to you, that you who have followed me, in the regeneration when the Son of Man shall sit on the seat of his majesty, you also shall sit on 12 seats, judging the 12 tribes of Israel. And everyone that hath left house, or brethren, or sisters, or father, or mother, or wife, or children, or lands, for my name's sake, shall receive 100-fold, and shall possess life everlasting." From the Great Commentary of Cornelius a Lapide. Peter, following Christ's counsel of poverty, which the young man had despised, becoming more zealous, animates the apostles, because they were almost alone in following the counsel of poverty given by Christ. And that he might still further encourage them, he asks what and how great reward of glory awaits himself and the other apostles, who followed Christ in his poverty, in preaching the good news of the kingdom of heaven. Thus Peter would confirm his brethren in their holy purpose. "We have left all, our ships and our nets, by which we gained our livelihood. And although these were poor and small things, yet, as St. Gregory says, he has forsaken much, who has left the desire of having. By those who followed Christ, as many things were left as could be desired by those who followed him not. For the poor in spirit, although he may be reckoned among the needy, yet in a sense is he rich, because all the things which he might have, hope for, or obtain all his life long in the world, he forsakes for the love of Christ, that he may give up his whole heart to God. This is a heroic act of poverty, and therefore of charity and religion, in which a man offers himself as a whole burnt offering to God. Yea, he himself becomes a living and perpetual burnt offering. St. Augustine says, Peter left not only what he had, but what he wished to have. For what poor person is there who is not puffed up by worldly hopes? Who does not daily desire to increase his possessions? That cupidity was cut off. Peter left the whole world, and Peter received the whole world, having nothing and yet possessing all things. Jesus says, in the regeneration, that is, in baptism, for this is spiritual regeneration, in which dying unto sin, we are born into spiritual and heavenly life. Thus St. Hilary explains it, you who have followed me through the regeneration of baptism shall sit with me as judges of the 12 tribes of Israel. Other commentators understand by regeneration the general resurrection in the day of judgment, for this shall be the renovation of the body and of the whole man, as well as of the universe, and, as it were, their second birth to glory. Hence it is rightly called here and elsewhere regeneration. Saint Bernard, admiring their excellency, exclaims, O grace of friendship, O summit of honor, O privilege of confidence, O prerogative of perfect security, for what is so much to be feared, what is so full of anxiety and vehement solicitude, as the thought of standing to be judged at that awful tribunal, and to wait for the sentence as yet doubtful from so strict a judge? Happy indeed the position which in that supreme clashing of the elements, in that tremendous examination of deserts, in that so great scrutiny of judging, can make them not secure only, but glorious. Moreover, this glorious judicial session before the whole world, yea, of the whole world, is promised by Christ to all those who, leaving all things, follow by means of perfect imitation Christ who was poor, and spread his gospel and his kingdom. There is promised to those who leave all things and follow Christ a dominion of hearts, so that they may rule over the hearts and minds of men, and place in them the throne and kingdom of Christ where they may sit and rule like kings, and make all things therein obedient to the law of Christ. Wherefore apostles and apostolic men, leaving all things, as monks and religious have done, being inflamed with the love of God, have converted the world. St. Gregory says, he shall receive 100-fold, because God shall take care that such a one shall rejoice far more in his poverty, or his renunciation of his goods for the love of Christ, than rich men rejoice in all their riches and advantages. And this, these who give up their possession for Christ's sake, do in very deed experience. St. Jerome, Bede, and others take 100-fold to apply not to temporal but to spiritual goods, such as peace, joy, divine consolations, and all other gifts and graces with which God comforts them and which he heaps upon them. These things surpass all earthly goods and joys, far more than 100 exceeds unity. Origen, Theophylactus, Euthymius, and Cassian explain the 100-fold thus. The man who forsakes his possessions and friends for Christ's sake shall find that Christ will take care that he has 100, that is, very many others, who will give him the love and help of brothers, wives, and mothers, with far more exceeding sweetness and charity, so that it shall not seem that he has lost his own possessions, but has only laid them down, and in Christ's providence has multiplied them. For spiritual affections are sweeter than natural ones. Wherefore he who has left one home for Christ will find 100 and more homes of pious people open and ready to receive him with love and gladness. Priests and those who flee from their homes on account of the persecutions in Japan, England, and Scotland know this by experience. They find the houses of all the faithful open to receive them to hospitality and are frequently migrating from house to house. So too a religious who has left one house of his father for Christ finds 100, not houses, but colleges and monasteries, very great and fair, to receive him with maternal tenderness. So also he who has left one field for Christ will find 100 fields of the worshippers of Christ by which he may be nourished, and that without labor or toil, whereas he would have had to cultivate his own. In like manner, for one brother forsaken, there will be very many Christians who will cherish him with fraternal love and cleave to him more sweetly with spiritual attachment. St. Ambrose, by 100-fold, understands God himself, and consequently the whole world, which is God's property. For to such as leave all things for God's sake, God is father, mother, wife, brother, sister, and all things.